I just want to touch on one thing this evening here. That the key to our victory is consistency. And all that Satan, one of the things he wants to do is that he understands if they get tired and they get weary, they lose. But if they are consistent in what they're doing, they win. So we explained, first of all, the foundation of faith. In other words, we said it is the knowledge of God's will and God's purpose. Then we talked about the process of this, where you begin to declare this word. It starts getting on the inside of you, and then through that, you are able to worship God in spirit and in truth. And it's in that interaction there in worship and in praise that things are birthed into your life. Satan understands that they will reap, they will get results if they faint not. He understands that if this person, right, keeps declaring the word of God on the earth and keeps worshiping Jesus and praising God for the fulfillment of it, there is nothing that can happen. The person is going to get the result. If a person goes to God and asks for revelation, right, it won't take God long. He will show him things in the word. And then he begins to declare and he is worshiping God. All right. So it says, so what I've got to do is to try to stop them from continuing in the practice of that particular thing. To apply pressure to their souls. To get them tired. Because once they are tired there, and they get tired and stop practicing and they are no longer consistent in the practice of it, then we will get results. So anybody that says, well, you know, I started out, you know, in faith and all of that. Look, Satan says, once this will happen, they get tired. Have them done. And once they get tired, and that tiredness is not just from the environment, there is a demonic spirit that can come in and start putting pressure on the soul of that person and start putting pressure on that situation in order for that person, all right, to get well. And once you don't know that that is in operation, then something happens. Look at Genesis chapter 25. Look at what happened there. Genesis 25 here. And verse 28. And Isaac loved Esau simply because he did eat of his venison. And that was all. That was why Isaac wanted to give him the... Are you following what I'm saying? He didn't look at his character. Do you get what I'm saying? Even Almighty Isaac was going to lay hands on the wrong person because of the offering. You heard what I said? Almighty Isaac was going to lay hands because of the offering. What was it? It was the wife that said, this is not the person. That if you give this one that I know, the thing will scatter. The Bible says because of the word venison. But Rebecca loved Jacob, and Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint, tired. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. And his name was called Edom. All right? And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright, which means he was tired. And he said, sell me this day your birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit is the future for me? So what happened? And this is, that's what it tells us in Hebrews 12, that we shouldn't go like Esau. What happens is you can be under real pressure and you get tired. And because there is pressure there and you're tired, you forfeit your future in God for time. You exchange your destiny, all right, for some temporal satisfaction. Satan knows that that is where people, all right, will lose out on things. So if you put pressure on people, so you want a girl, you look at the lady and says that, look, she has a bright future. Let us get her to marry the wrong guy. Now, the wrong guy is the wrongest guy. The wrong guy, as in when you see him, you know as a witness that this is error. But what happened? She was in the process of believing God. Pressure started coming. Pressure, she got to one point that she just snapped and was tired and said, look, what is all this future? I have a calling. What is calling what? And exchanges. Are you following what I'm saying here? Exchanges, destiny for some. That's what Satan wants. He wants that law of exchange. Where there's so much pressure that comes on that somebody says that financial pressure to the point that you don't understand that there's a spirit behind that thing. You don't understand that that financial pressure is a demonic spirit that is putting undue pressure, all right, on you so that you can get into something that is wrong. And when you err into that, he's got you and said, well, the future God has, all right, we can tamper. It's the same thing that Abraham came under pressure. Now, Esau was that kind of person, which means that he got tired. So I want you to understand that what Satan is trying to work, and I want to share this here, is to get people tired. So that once they get tired and you are weary there, okay, and you know, you get tired, you look at it and, all right, and you look at it, and that's why the Bible says men always ought to pray. Men always ought to do what? Pray and not to faint. If I was not taught prayer, let me tell you this. If I wasn't taught prayer by my first pastor, Luby Johnson, and he taught prayer, and we will stay there for 4 hours praying, I will not have had the stamina to stand the attacks that my calling was bringing. Which means that is where you receive strength. That's what Jesus was saying when he said, look, all right, that he said, tarry with me, let us pray, okay, and stay there so we can get strength. Or else, what is going to happen is that you are going to confront situations. He said, Peter, Satan has asked that you might be gone. He said, but I've prayed for you, because they understand this, that once your hands are up, once the hands are up there, the word of God will keep working. But once you get tired, the word will stop. Which means Joshua was winning so long as Moses' hands were up and he was praising, the word was working, right? Two-edged sword in the hand there, high praises in the mouth. But the minute there is an attack and praise becomes difficult and there's heaviness and you drop the praise, word stops producing. So it says, sit until I make thine enemies. The key to God subduing your enemies here, this is what we're saying, is actually, please get what we're saying here. It is praise. Look at this. Look at Psalm 81. I must share this here. Because the lifting up of hands there is that. And let me tell you, listen. Friendship. Huh? Look, I'm alone now. Are you following there? I'm a one-man riot squad by myself. I fight. But listen, let me tell you something I've never said. Many years ago in this church, many years, very small then, I remember I was very heavy about something. So I came to church. Many years, this was, I mean, I'm like 96. I said, guys, I'm heavy about, I just said it before I preached. Could you people pray for me? Let me tell you this. In 3 days, not that I called the premier meeting, no, in 3 days, the whole thing disappeared. I saw the power of people helping me in prayer. It's not that I didn't ask anybody to pray, but I understood that people must have said for pastor to come out and say, look, guys, you know, I've seen him say that, look, guys, I need prayer here. Yeah. All right? I knew people pray. I understood the power of lifting things. In fact, we started having Saturday morning prayers. And I will note that when we go there and I join people in prayer and I carry, things I've been trying to carry by myself, when we get together and do corporate prayer, by the time the prayer meeting is over, the thing has lifted. There is nothing like, Satan hates this thing, covenant friends in prayer, where you can call somebody and tell the person, I'm struggling here. Help me in prayer. If you have that kind of person, that's what happened to Moses. His hands were down. It was because Aaron lifted his hands up. And when they lifted his hands up, what I want to show here is that lifting up hands was praising. But he got so heavy by the attacks that praise became difficult. And once praise is difficult, the word stops working on the streets. Because it's high praises and a two-edged sword that advances the cause of God. So what Satan does is, if we can break that, where there are joy, all right, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Where there are joy and we attack that inside their heart and they find it hard to rejoice and they are in heaviness, then the declarations of the word of God. So when he said, sit until I make thine enemies, thine enemies are made their footstool, as you are rejoicing in the finished work of Jesus. But for you to be able to successfully rejoice continuously in the finished work of Jesus, right? The enemy, right, wants you to get weary. Look at what it says here in Psalm 81. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm. Bring hither the timbrel and the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow the trumpet. Have you not seen? Look, Bible is not theory. Have you not seen that when we are in a fast, have you not seen? And we come and do praise and worship, it's more powerful. No. Have you not seen what I'm saying? You know why? Because people are pushing back on forces of darkness. You understand what I'm saying here? Pushing back on forces of darkness. Look, if you make sufficient intercession for a meeting, when people come to praise, you have lifted the body. As they praise, what they might not be able to do in their house by themselves, they access the presence of God, and things can happen in that environment. If there is not sufficient prayer, what happens is that there will be heaviness in the hearts of people. Even the person that wants to preach, that's why Paul said, utterance might be what? Granted. All right? I remember once when we were in school, we invited Reverend Emiko to speak. And he started preaching. He said, Poor Jew, what's going on? You didn't pray? You guys didn't pray? All right? As he said it, we realized that we had missed some prayer meetings. We called that prayer meeting tonight. The next day, he didn't know we did it. The next day, as he came to preach, he said, now it's working well. Spiritual things are tangible. This thing is not theory. We are just carrying theory of, you know. Bible says we are not following cunningly devised fables. It's not for one night. We are not just promising people things that will not materialize. So, he says this. All right? Take a psalm, bring the timbrel, pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed of a solemn feast day. For this was a statue of Israel and the law of God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony. When he went through the land of Egypt, where he heard a language, I removed his shoulders from the body, which means this, thou callest upon me and I deliver thee. Hear ye, O my people, verse 8, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God that brought thee out of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people will not hearken to my voice. That why there is in praise, rejoicing. It says, sing, O barren that did not bear. Break forth, lengthen your cords, which means open your mouth wide. But my people will not hearken to my voice, and Israel will none of me. Folks, what am I telling you? We've started on rejoicing. If you've been rejoicing, Monday you rejoice. Tuesday you rejoice. The last time you really sang praises was 2 weeks ago. Enemy attack. They are taking away what will produce manifestation. This is what I'm telling you. Anybody tells me, Pastor, I believe God for something. This is the word. I've seen scripture. Like somebody asked me from America, I said, can confidence, can the assurance go? I said, that's why the Bible says, hold fast your confidence. This is the word. You look at the word, you know that this is real word they found. All right? Why is there no manifestation? This is what happened. As they started first day, confessing. Check it. Second day. Third day. Rejoicing. Ask them well. Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, they've stopped. All right? It could be something happened. I said this today. They got heavy. If the praise is consistent and the declaration is consistent, you will get to the place of manifestation. Satan knows that. So he says, let's take their praise away. Let's put pressure on them. All right? Let's take away this praise. That's why we say premature exposure of your vision, all right, is not good. Because what happens is if people speak to you about that vision negatively, a weight comes. When the weight comes, it becomes difficult for you to praise God. Except you pray that in a way. All right? It becomes difficult. So he said, look, all that my people vested in, had hearken not me, Israel, had walked in my ways, I shall soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord will have submitted themselves. He says, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool, will have submitted themselves if you constantly open your mouth, and their time shall have endured forever. I will have fed them with the finest of wheat. This is wisdom. And I will have made them to suck honey out of the rock, will have satisfied. He says, eat honey and the honeycomb. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to thy soul. Which means they will have entered into the wisdom on how that thing should happen. Now, so what Satan wants to really attack is get them to be tired, get them to be weary about it. Look at Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. So you know who wins, who loses, who gets tired first. There was an unjust judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. The widow went and said, avenge me of my adversary. Hear what he said. Though I fear not God, neither regard man, but your continuous coming has made me tired. Are you following what I'm saying here? Listen. I have no connection. You know, it's almost like somebody keeps calling. Is there something you? I'm not giving you any money. I'm not giving that. Keep calling. Have some time. Please, don't let go. I need my peace. Take, go. Leave me alone. All right? Your continuous what? Coming. Which means that your persistence, and this is what God wants, you're putting pressure there. All right? Demonic forces leave people that, whoa, guy, it is sign. If you born, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. People that consistently, they're applying the pressure. Consistently, they are on the attack. Consistently applying the pressure, wearing out forces of darkness, wearing out all the horns of wickedness. Consistently, are you from there? Consistently, right? You try to stop them by saying something against them. They double up on what they are doing. No discouragement. Are you following and saying? They say, leave that guy. You understand this? That chap, they double up. This is the secret to victory. They touch you, you fight back. Let me tell you the secret to victory. You push back on darkness. Right? They want you. That's what happened. They threatened them. Let them not preach. They went into prayer, pushed back, and went out there and started preaching. The people who the spirit was operating in, must have felt that this threat will make them keep quiet. intimidation will make them shut up. So you put pressure on that. Now look at Daniel. It says this 7 and verse 25. Verse 24. And then 10 horns of this kingdom are 10 kings, and they shall arise. Another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. All right? And think to change times and to change seasons. So it's about wearing out the saints, right, of the Most High, and to speak great words. So what he wants to do is to try to get them, these horns of darkness, to get you tired. Right? And that spirit is there trying to get you. So you get tired. And you don't go on. And once you don't know there's a demonic spirit, all right, in operation. Look, some people are still, what is left is a shell of everything. They are still going to the business, but they've given up. Are you following what I'm saying? The enthusiasm that they had at the beginning has been drained by the pressure. So, on the outside, you know a man that will win, you've thrown everything against him, he's still excited. Ha! Say, listen to me, let's go on. He's still there, there's still a spring in his step. You get there, the people around say, with all that happened, he's still moving on. Let's move on. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do this. Let's do that. You find out that when someone starts getting tired, the ideas that he's bringing to the table start dropping. He just comes to the office, sits down. No longer are there creative ideas. No new form of innovation. All right? Nothing. No, every day pushed back. So you continue. Okay? And the way to deal with this, you are dealing with a spirit. You are not dealing with... All right, now, when they speak words, let me tell you this, sometimes, many a times, it's not the demon that will say it from his mouth in the realm of the spirit. He will get people to say it for him. Now, that's why the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The reason is that that thing is operating in flesh and blood. It is people that are speaking to wear you out. Now, you've got to understand now spiritual warfare, that if you also now speak back against those people, you have lost. Are you following what I'm saying here? You must walk in love, but you must fire weapons. So, Satan, the way terrorists operate, fire the missile from inside a house that has children and women. And God has told you, walk in love. So you take the weapon, if you don't know how to use it. You say, how do I shoot? Because you mustn't kill anybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is nothing like spiritual warfare, you're killing people. It's not there. When they said that, Jesus, let's call fire and destroy. Jesus said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. Your enemies should be alive. What you want is not for them to die. It's what you want is to eat from the table of the Lord. Do you understand what we're saying? Joseph, it wasn't that my brothers died. You are in prison. They died. Good. Judah has died. I told them. And you are still in prison. The point is to become prime minister. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Look, we're talking spiritual warfare here. All right? It's not, you know, people, because people don't understand. All right, you think you're wrestling against me, but is that boss? Wait. I have scriptures. Now, look, I'm going to tell you this. You can use those scriptures and harm the person. You can do it. But what you practiced is witchcraft. Are you following me? Now, there is a way in which you fire. The Bible says that when they contended over the body of Moses, that even the archangel brought no railing accusation against Satan. What he said was, the Lord rebuke thee. In other words, in prayer you go to God and you ask God, judge this matter here. Lord rebuke. Look, when the Lord rebukes a person, it is a deep thing. When Laban was cheating Jacob, the day Jacob was leaving with everything, he said, you changed my wages 10 times, but my God rebuked you with this. In other words, when God rebukes, are you following what I'm saying here? Look, in this country, you know, people start cursing. People stole money. You are not in warfare. If you are in warfare, you don't abuse them. But you say, Lord, judge what is going on. The people themselves will discover by what is happening in their life that if you steal government money, things go wrong. Go. That, look, it doesn't help anybody. Are you following what I'm saying here? Hey, let me tell you what the problem is. People are not crying out to God. If you cry out to God, it will purify people. Because the man sitting down saw that this man stole money yesterday. 2 days after, he looks. He says, what happened? Ah, they say, you know where I put all that money? It's, after some time, you know, once you see a pattern, and Nigerians are very spiritual, once they see a pattern going on, ah, I don't want wahala. I don't want wahala for myself. So it's about the law. But when, listen to what I'm saying now. If you are in spiritual warfare, you mustn't speak evil about any man, privately or publicly, that is involved. But you are praying. If they come to your house and say, look at the way they are treating you, keep your mouth shut. You do not, anywhere you put your hand, God will not put his hand. Anywhere you speak your will, God's will won't happen. Remove everything. Are you following what I'm saying here? And let God come into the situation by himself. Right? And by himself, he will raise up things and things to, you know, to fight for you and all that. But don't get yourself involved. Don't insult. Don't trade insult. No railings for railings. Accusations for accusations. All right? Don't do that. Somebody says, that guy is a thief. You say, hey, you're saying I'm a thief. Yeah, I know you. You. It's railings for railings. Okay? The way you want to destroy the accusation against you is by bringing up another accusation against the person to destroy the credibility of the accuser. What God is saying, wherever they have taken your name in accusation, they have planted seeds for your expansion.
Thank you for listening.